Bill, top 10 feeling going to the bathroom, right? What'd you say?
What is it?
Releasing yourself in the bathroom, like going to the bathroom, would you say?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, so I've always said, I think releasing a pee when you really, really, really have to go, like you're like almost going to pee your pants, might be like the best feeling in the world. It's up there. And I understand, oh, yeah, the sacks and all that. But no, this is like the pressure of like when you have to pee and you can't and then you finally get to release, I think is amazing. But second to that, Bill, might be dropping the old dooski.
I mean, for a guy who's pooped his pants several times, yeah.
It's, well, hopefully this, well, actually then maybe beware of this. But Bill, there was recently, the Huffington Post put out an article, the number one cereal to make you go number two. They have a top 10 list. I'll be honest, some of these are ridiculous, but want to throw a couple stabs at what you think might be the number one cereal to make you go number two.
Raisin Bran?
Raisin Bran, technically not on this list, which I thought would have been number one.
Wow.
But not on here.
All right. What else makes you poop?
Throw another one.
I know Corn Chex is like binding.
Yeah, that one's gonna close.
Kashi? Kashi, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Kashi is a thing, but I don't see it here. I'll throw a few at you, see if you can jump in with one. So there's this one called Poop Like a Champion. It's an actual...
Oh, come on.
But that doesn't count. Nature's Path... Flax plus multi-brand flakes. Then there's Cranberry Almond Kind cereal, same as Kind brand, the bars. Kellogg's All-Brand Buds. I don't know what that is, but sounds disgusting. All-Brand Buds. No. There's organic oat, grain-free O's, Fiber One. That one you probably...
All right, fine. But this sounds like a list of the top 10 worst cereals. Like, these are all terrible.
Let's see. Ezekiel Sprouted Flourless Flakes, whatever that is. I know Ezekiel Bread. Here we go. Here's some you've definitely eaten. Cheerios.
Right.
Cheerios, Bill. They say Cheerios help you do the poo-poos.
All right, fair enough.
Bob's Red Mill Organic Oat Bran. Sure. And then here's one. I don't know if you're a fan. This might be one of my favorite cereals, and I'm not a cereal eater. Not specifically this flavor, but Barbara's Multigrain Puffins. Do you eat the Puffins?
I've heard of Puffins. I've never had them, though. I feel like I just feel like they're all terrible that you've named besides Cheerios.
Yeah, isn't it weird? Part of me is kind of blown away that, like, Cheerios, and like you said, like Raisin Bran. Like, to me growing up, I remember the feeling of that gargle after the Raisin Bran. It's kind of like similar to like a Taco Bell when you're just scarfing down tons and tons of Taco Bell and you just poo your pants, but... I was surprised. But Bill, if you do need to go number two, whether it be in your pants or not, grab yourself some Barbara's Puffins. I think that's the best promotion we could do for them. If they want to sponsor us, we can give them a promo code.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome in to the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I'm Jason Rossi. Yeah, that's me. I almost lost my train of thought while losing all of that oxygen and thinking about poo. You can follow me at Jason D. Rossi. I will not really tweet a lot about poo, but maybe I will. I'll cross all the socials, that's including Twitter, Instagram. I don't even know what the heck you follow people on Facebook, but I don't have an OnlyFans, but my other guy does. But the Twitter machine, you can follow us along this show at the Pop Culture PD. No, we're not the police. She's only so many characters you can play with, and it will instantly make you brandier or less binded. And with me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along on Twitter at BillyYee2411, across all the other social media platforms at BillyD2411, including his OnlyFans, where we are doing the end of September. What are we down to? Like 9 days left. You can get the Long Billy D promo code. Again, you can use Long Billy D on his OnlyFans. You get it for just 99 cents. 99 cents to get Billy's Long D.
I like how you said we, too.
What do you mean we?
Like me and you are doing it.
We are. It's a tag team, Bill. It's a tag team. That's what tag teams do. When one succeeds, they both succeed. He is Billy D. What's going on, man?
Hello. Not much. Allergies are kicking my ass right now. So today was tough getting out of bed.
Sound great, though, Bill. That's all that matters. Well, listen, if something's going to get you out of bed, in our big topic today, I think it could be a little tribute to Norm Macdonald. I know we mentioned him in last week's podcast. This week, we're going to do a full dive in a few minutes into the 1998 Dirty Work. We'll get into all of our thoughts on that. You can follow this podcast along on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, anywhere you find podcasts. Hold on, where are those random ones? Ghana, Boomplay, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Player FM. I think that's just about, but literally just tell Alexa to play
SoundCloud.
Pop Culture with you. No, no, not SoundCloud, actually. I'm sorry.
No, one day.
We're not like freestyle rappers. Also, maybe, you know, if somebody wants to pay the right price, we could do it. Or maybe we'll do a musical episode. Our merch can be found on tpublic.com. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver. Do a deep search or just do pop-culture-driver. Music by our guys. Oh, yeah. And Bill, I saw it. I saw some of the video for Oh, Yeah.
You
put it on the gram.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Go check it out. It's a day on the boat kind of vibe. So a lot of fun. So go check those guys out.
Yeah, don't let the yacht rock die here with Oh Yeah. I'm digging it. Also, you can check out the merch for That's a Chunky over there. Some new shirts I saw revealed. Bill, what's the new ones we got going on for That's a Chunky?
All right, so we have a Crashmore shirt, a Stable of Stars shirt, and we also have I Don't Want Anybody to Have the Worst Day at Their Job. So if you're listening to that in the morning, I echo those sentiments to you right now.
Yes, awesome stuff. By the way, I think that might be the shirt I buy because it's so ambiguous and so hilarious at the same time. Like, you don't need to know anything about I Think You Should Leave to see that. Like, that just seems like a shirt that would be sold like a Hot Topic or whatever the cool mall t-shirt place is now.
Still there.
Yeah, still. Well, let me ask you this. Is there any new places like that? Like, where do the kids go now? You got hip. Nieces, nephews, like where do they get their t-shirts?
There's a place that's I always want to know if it's EB Lens or Eblens.
We're gonna go with Eblens because it sounds so much cooler.
All right, it's capitaled with EB and then the L and then it goes small letters, so I thought it might be EB Lens.
Is that kind of a sportswear store as well?
A little bit of both. It's got like a lot of stuff. It's got sneakers, it's got jerseys, but it's also got like high fashion of today. So
I'm going to go to Eblens. Eblens? What do we call it?
EB Lens or Eblens. Yeah. If anybody's Eblens there, let me know.
We have big podcast listenership in stores. And this podcast nonprofit probably hits a little bit more home today than it does most days. Is Frank's SI since 2008. Frank's SI, we've been raising funds for those affected by cancer. Unfortunately, that son of a bitch that took down our guy, Norm Macdonald, from students going to college, giving direct funds to cancer patients at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute for unique experiential events. Check out francishigh.com. Bill, we texted, we were talking topics, we had a couple things up, and then you said, let's give a little shout to Norm. And I'll be honest, when I first started, I'm like, do we want to review this movie? Do we want to do it? But I'm like, let's check it out. And Bill, this movie, we'll get into all the breakdown that we do. Mm-hmm. It's just one of the dumbest movies I've ever watched. But man, I missed this when I was 13 years old. This movie was released in 98. We'll go through it. But yeah. I did not watch it enough. I'll go through what I remember. But like first 10 minutes of watching this movie, it just made me feel like I should have just had like a big thing of like Chex Mix, some Jacks and some orange soda. Because it made me feel like a kid. Like that stupid ass late 90s humor.
I hadn't seen it probably in 10 years, and I always wanted to go back because there was a quote that I could never find. I didn't know the exact phrasing of it, but I'm with you. When I was a kid, I did watch this a good amount. I like this movie a lot. I don't know if I have it like the love level of a lot of people here, but it's just so silly, and the writing is just so ridiculous, and it has those flashback cutaways that make you like, is this good? But it's – it's fucking awesome.
This movie on IMDb, Dirty Work, again, released in 1998. We'll run down our game that we do for every movie. But I just love the IMDb like synopsis. Just a one-liner says, a loser finds success and a revenge for hire business.
Like, perfect.
Simple. There it is. We got Norm Macdonald, Artie Lang, Jack Warren, and Warden, should I say. And this is the guy that, if you don't know that name, that is the dad or the grandfather from Problem Child. Amazing. Yeah. This man, he needs be in more, well, needed to be in more films. Chris Farley's in this one. Yeah, Chevy Chase. Yeah, Don Rickles, who was absolutely hilarious. The baby gorilla line, what we'll get to. Appearances from Adam Sandler, who I'm surprised this wasn't more of an Adam Sandler movie, just the vibe and like a Happy Madison. Obviously, it predates it. You also had Gary Coleman make a guest appearance. But Bill, this movie was released June 12th. I put 2003 like an idiot. 1998. Can you tell me, Bill, what was the average price of gas in America?
This had to be like the super low. I'm imagining like 105.
Ooh, close. $1.25. What was the number one record in the United States? Hint, massive jam. This is our heyday, don't forget. Like we were in like elementary, like 7th, 8th grade. This song dominated the entire summer. It was like the number one record for, I believe, like 17 weeks.
Mariah Carey, One Sweet Day?
Nope. I'm going to get it's a duo. It's two female artists together.
Two female artists together, 1998.
Yeah, they collabed for this massive hit.
Oh, man. I'm terrible with these games.
I can give you one more hit. I can give you one more hint.
All right.
One of them killed a man.
One of them killed a man. Like, legit? Like, in jail for it?
No, I don't think they went to jail, but they had an unfortunate car accident, I believe.
Huh. I have no idea.
That would be, Bill, one of the biggest smash hits, The Boy Is Mine.
Oh, wow. Okay, I should know that. A lot of people are going to be disappointed in me for that one. Yeah, Brandy and Monica, correct? Who killed somebody? Brandy?
Brandy had a fatal car crash. I want to say that was a while ago. That would be over a decade ago. But like she was blamed for it. And Bill, what was the number one movie at this time? I can let you know. It was a comedy actor taking a shot at being a little more serious, but still a comedy movie overall. Very famous 90s.
The Truman Show?
Bingo! Billy nails it.
I got one.
There he goes. I think it's your first time ever getting one right. These two
pretty much.
Don't overthink. Who was the WWF champion on June 12, 1998?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That is correct. And who was the WCW World Heavyweight Champion?
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Nailed it again, Bill. Look at you. Yeah. 3 out of 5. That ain't bad right there. So there's a little snippet into 1998, June, when this movie was released. The ratings on this one, Bill, IMDb, 6.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 14% critic score, 65%
wow, what a disparity. Audience.
And, but you have to, like, you know what? And I don't know. Obviously, I took this snapshot recently. I have a feeling a lot of these got a lot more positive reviews post, you know, death for our guy Norm. But I don't know for sure. I don't know if that swung in any way. Metacritic, 67 out of 100. And 81%.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's like, well, I don't know how legit you feel about all these, but I feel like that's a pretty good site when it comes to their reputation of movies. And 81% of Google users like this movie.
I mean, I like it, as we're going to get to in a second here. But
sure. Critics mostly gave this movie negative reviews, referring to it as a laden, taste-deprived attempt at comedy and a desert of comedy. Or is it dessert? I never know how to spell those words. With infrequent humor, said the New York Times. Los Angeles Times, Bill, described it as a tone-deaf, scattershot, disparagingly cheesy affair with more groans than laughs.
No, I mean, that's just highbrow stuff. I mean, you have to embrace what you're getting here. You kind of have to know what you're going into in this movie. And even still, there's some great moments. And I know the acting from Norm isn't like all time. And even Artie Lang actually does a pretty good job. But, yeah. I mean, just like the people who are in this movie, I think show it enough respect that, like, it's a comedy classic, at least a cult classic.
Yeah, I think it fits more on the cultish side, in my opinion. Norm MacDonald, they say, does uncork a few one-liners, but his lack of conviction in his acting is amusing in itself. And you know what? I'm going to kind of tend to agree with that. But one last review. San Francisco Chronicle recommends the film for people who only like stupid, lowbrow, vulgar comedy. I had a few laughs. Thanks.
I mean,
I don't think that's true
at all, though, because people who love all kinds of comedy, I'm sure, love this movie. Because it does touch on, you know, like the pulse of what Norm MacDonald is. And most people love Norm MacDonald.
True. So Bill, I got a 1-star review and a 10-star review off of IMDb. Both came out, nothing recent because there's a lot of glowing reviews now. Do you want the 1-star first or the 10-star?
Bad news first, always.
All right. 1-star review came out in March of 1999, about 7-8 months after this movie was released. No brain power was used to make this movie. The movie was non-comical, had no depth, lacked creativity, and no brain power was used to make this movie. I'm not sure if it was the fault of the director, writer, actors, actresses. Don't waste your time watching this movie. It's not even good enough to make fun of. That was Woof. From Brits Moss. The 10-star, going the other way, this was released 2 years after the movie came out. 10-star review, hilarious, and I hope you find it offensive. Norm Macdonald is a true comic genius. If you love politically incorrect humor, flatulent humor, or insult humor like I do, then you will love this movie. If you don't, well, then keep your distance there. I don't know what that word is. Dirty Work is the funniest no-holds-barred comedy of the century. P.S. Don Rickles and Chevy Chase have great small roles in this movie.
I mean, that's undeniable.
I'm going to put that as my next dork review. If you love politically incorrect humor, flatulent humor, or insult humor like I do, then you'll love this. I'll put it as podcast. I'm literally copying that. That's a good one. All right, Bill. So now let's dive in. Open it all up. Curtain jerker. Did you like it?
Loved it. I did.
Love.
I mean, it was a joy to go back and watch. Again, acting for the most part, especially Norm Macdonald, not great. Even his little love interest there kind of sucked. I mean, I've seen her in other things. Was she in Two Guys, a Girl? She's a monk.
I'm going to look it up because I swear me and my wife watched this last night and she was like, she's like, that's a girl from Monk. I'm like, I think she's from Two Guys, a Girl in the Pizza Place. I already know. I'm not even looking it up. I know she is. I know it.
What did she think? What did Courtney think?
Courtney laughed a lot more than I was expecting her to, but specifically, and we'll get it, like the Don Rickles part. Like she thought Don Rickles was hilarious. The baby gorilla line, the part where they're playing like a pano on the movie screen. That part she doesn't care. But like then he goes up to the popcorn or the concession guy and he's like, hurry, like, it's so slow. He says something. And she just found like every time the two scenes with him, she hysterically laughed. She laughed at a lot of the Artie Lang stuff. I think that's what I got out of her. She ended up falling asleep with like 25 minutes ago. I'm not going to lie because that's what she does with everything, but that's pretty good for her. But I was surprised how much she laughed and like belly laughed during a movie like this.
Yeah. To me, this movie, I think would appeal to like, your general sense of humor. Cause there's just some stuff that's always going to be funny.
Yeah. And I think this also is like, if you're like Billy Madison, you like Ace Ventura, you like all those 90s, like, things that sat well with us, Happy Gilmore, like you're going to fall into this film. And that's where I feel like I didn't enough when I was a kid. I actually texted our buddy Pat and I said, we missed Dirty Work. Like this did not hit for us when we were young. Like, I don't know why we didn't watch this more. And he said, one of our friends used to always have it on that he was a little bit closer with than I was. But for the question, did I like it? Honestly, like, yeah, I did. And I wasn't expecting to like it as much either. Bill, what did you think of the casting in this film?
I mean, it's pretty solid, right? I think it's a solid cast. Like you said, Pops nailed it. the love interest was kind of weak, but I mean, you're probably not going to be able to get a huge superstar for this movie. Chevy Chase, who is hit or miss for me a lot, and you know, his character was kind of lame, but I think he was supposed to kind of play a lame character. He was decent. Artie Lang, I thought, was great.
Christopher McDonald as well, you know, Happy Gilmore's big
enemy. Yeah, I honestly, he was fine. I think the character of him, he always plays that guy well. He was actually in a recent episode of Psych, kind of playing, you know, the highfalutin guy. That's really all he can play with.
Like you just said, a recent episode of Psych.
Well, the recent review of an episode we did of Psych, and more recent than this movie, so.
Well, ain't that for sure. Yeah, he just kind of a one-trick pony is this actor a little bit, especially during this time. Talk about getting typecast. Mm-hmm. I did want to mention also, the casting, I wasn't huge on it. I love Artie Lang. I've been an Artie Lang fan. Like, obviously, I'm a Stern listener, and I really loved him on the show. But it is funny that, like, we didn't see much more Artie Lang in movies, and I thought he stood, like, 10 feet taller than Norm Macdonald in most of this film. His acting, the way he like sold a lot of the, you know, the things that they were doing, especially the scene where they're like destroying the apartment complex. But this can segue into the acting and the writing. The Speak and Spell, Bill, what did you think of the acting and writing in this film?
Like the joke writing was great. The premise of the movie is a little weird, right? I mean, a revenge for hire business, even in that day and age, would never happen. Especially like when I saw they had a storefront. Like, that's fucking hilarious. Like you would never have a storefront for a business like that. But, you know, Norm MacDonald's acting, again, can leave something to be desired, but his delivery is part of his acting. And when he delivers lines like, oh, I know why you're attracted. Oh, I wonder why you are here. Oh, yeah. Huge physical attraction to me. Like, it's the way he delivered the, you know, box office poison. Like, it's just the way he delivers those lines that does make this movie a little different. Like, you know, I think it's Goose favorite line. Hello, real cops. Like, it's bad acting, but it's supposed to be bad acting.
See, I'm not going to agree with that. I don't think it's supposed to be. I just think Norm MacDonald's not a good actor. At least in this film, because what I think it was he was coming off of that run with like SNL. So I think he was like, this movie was set up for the one hit punches from Norm. And like you said, I forgot about that line. Hello, real cops. Like that's such a good line. The acting overall, it actually was kind of hard to watch at points because you're just like, this is pretty poor. Like the lines he's delivering in the beginning when he's speaking, when his girlfriend's throwing stuff out, you can just tell it's like, I feel like I was doing it. Like, hey, all right, read this line, then read this line. But again, who the hell am I?
I do like that's my Canadian shirt.
Yeah. The other part too, and I know this isn't really necessarily acting, the guy who, when he takes his shirt, the polo shirt off, and he has the weird hair that they like stumble on, that he's like, I was pointing to somebody else. Like it's stupid, but hilarious at the same time. I didn't even mention one thing I thought, I never get this guy's name right. Is it David Kushner? The guy who's Kushner? From obviously he's been in The Office, and he, when he plays the used car dealer that they mess with, oh, that is fantastic. And I think he's hilarious. I think he's almost good in everything he touches.
That's true. I forgot about him. And I thought that was the last scene of the movie in my head for some reason. I thought that was like I completely forgot Shooter Gavin was in this movie because I hadn't seen it in 10 years. But like that to me is the thing that stuck out to me the most. I had a Facebook post, like probably the last time I watched this, like 10 years ago. You know, I've never seen so many dead hookers in my life. And the guy in the audience, Lord knows I have.
The other thing about it is I don't know the actor's name, and I apologize to him in his great career, but what about they brought out the guy who hosted the triathlon from Billy Madison? He's one of the homeless guys. Mm-hmm. And he goes on this long rate. This is one of the, I thought this is one of my favorite acted scenes, because he goes on this long rating rant about like why he's home, like, or like why he's in the position and not one of these homeless. And Norm MacDonald's like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, thanks for the help. And he like totally undersells him. The guy's trying to like pour his heart out, finally feels like he's connecting to somebody.
Here's $2.
Yeah. You'll do it for one. How about two? Also, I did quickly mention Rebecca Romijn also in this movie as the bearded lady, which what a ridiculous prank to have a bearded lady. They shave her, so she's super attractive, especially Rebecca Romijn in 1998, pre-Stamos. And it's just, I think that part's hilarious, because then they're like, ha ha, we got her. She's no beard anymore. And she's like absolutely bombshell. Those little things I feel like was good for like the writing purposes. And also like Bob Saget directed this film, by the way.
Did he really? It has a Bob Saget comedy feel to it. And I think Full House was still.
Oh, yeah.
I think we were full swing.
I believe, let me just do a check on Full House. I think
that started late 80s, right?
Yeah, Full House. Let me just see what comes
up. Well, you're looking that up. I also loved when he doesn't get the pizza there in 30 minutes or less, and then he's explaining it to his boss. He's like, you know, and then he also started saying all these nasty things about this Mussolini character. Like that line, that absolutely slayed me. And he's like,
Italian guy. Oh, yeah, that's great. By the way, Full House ended in 95. So this is when this is when we got Bob Saget as like adult humor Bob Saget. It was all revealed. I think this is around the time that Half Baked, and I think he might have still been doing America's Funniest Home Videos. Mm. But yeah, overall, the acting wasn't what I was here for. More of the one quick quips and stuff. Even the Gary Coleman scene I found hilarious when he was driving, and then there, you know, Adam Sandler's the devil with a spinning pig. There was definitely more good than bad in that sense. And again, it's hitting our demographic, I think, more. I think kids nowadays, anybody like 25 and under, I think would have a hard time with this film.
Maybe. I wouldn't recommend it to the certain, you know, like there's a kid in our Madden group who hated all the Norm McDonald's clips posted, and he was 25. Yeah. So I do love when they're stuffing the fishes around the house, and then the guys come in and they have the gun battle, and then they're just standing there for like
holding the fish because like the smells already, they put the fish everywhere, but yet they hold them in the other room, and then there's just like explosions, like a grenade. And then the guy, how about when the guy shows up, he goes, I didn't want you to kill him. Can we get paid for that now?
And you just hear them stepping through the blood.
That's great. Bill, music, hit my music. What did you think of the use of music in Dirty Work?
I thought it was pretty good. The
Semi-Charmed Life to kick off the movie.
It was pretty good throughout, and you know, it kind of blended in nicely with the movie, I'd say.
I think it was actually one of the strongest parts of the film. I love this music. This is right.
Dirty Deeds is great when they're doing the.
When they're ransacking
the house.
The apartment complex. You get that in there. You get Better Than Ezra, good in this film when they're at the bar. You get the Pina Colada song, which I think is hilarious. That scene. So what I remember as a kid, two things. It's all Chris Farley in this. This is one when he goes, G7, and he hits, and the guy goes, you just hit G8, because he wanted to put on...
If you like Pina
Colada. He wanted to play Rolling Stones or like some bar fight or something. And then he plays Pina Colada, and they're just brawl to Pina Colada, and then the part where Farley's in a bar and the commercial's airing, which, by the way, when the hell is there ever a commercial that's filmed live? Anywho.
Back in the day, there used to be.
Not live. Well, maybe, actually. You might be right. Maybe those.
I don't know about like 1998, but definitely in like 1978.
Imagine that, like you have 30 seconds. We're going live in 5, 4. Like that'd be nerve wracking. Anywho, but the part where he sees all the trunks open and the dead whores, and he goes, "That Saigon whore bit my nose off." Like that part. Those two things are the only things I remember about this entire film was the G7, because we used to say this a lot back when I was younger, and that Saigon whore, and clearly wasn't knowing really what a whore was when I was like 12. But those two things stand out immensely to me. But the music in this, they also use Tub Thumping. You got Burnout, a very underrated song by Green Day. You mentioned AC/DC in there. I loved the music that they used when they used it. I found it fitting. Wasn't a ton of it, but all of it was jams and stuff I would listen to quite often. So might be my favorite part of the movie in an odd way.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of good music in there, and I didn't even really think of that when I was watching the movie too much. I kind of forgot that was one of our things, but now, as you mentioned it, the Dirty Deeds did stand out to me, though.
Oh, yeah, and, like, what a pull. Like, this movie, I don't know what the budget was. I didn't see it, but, like, that's a lot of money, or maybe they had a connection with some studios, because to get, like, Green Day, and obviously, like, at the time, Third Eye Blind, Better Than Ezra, you know, obviously AC/DC, like, these are massive, you know, Green Day. These are massive bands and songs, even the Pina Colada song. That's not just saying, yeah, use our song wherever you want. Bill, what about the legacy here? What was the most memorable thing from Dirty Work?
I mean, I think you kind of just hit on it. For me, it was the kind of the G7 growing up, and like them fighting to kung fu, to Pina Colada by I think Rupert Holmes.
Nailed it.
But it's one of those, like, to me, it's just the acting of Norm, and it's just like, this is Norm McDonald's movie. You know what I mean?
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's just that this is, you know, Norm McDonald's pretty much biggest contribution in movie history. And I think that's why it stands out.
No, he was much better than Billy Madison. For me, I think it's the car scene. I think it is the part where they, you know, you see where they're filming a live commercial. He jumps in and then they make it into their commercial. They get, you know, famous off of that. Or like I was going to say, the Chris Farley, like there's so many moments of Chris Farley. I know it's not his film, but I think he steals the show. Artie Lang, again, I liked him a ton in this, but I just feel like Farley stole the show. But I think the most memorable thing is that scene with the
dead whores. I mean, that's the thing that stuck out to me the last time I watched it, obviously, and the most as a kid, because I do remember the line that, you know, Lord knows I have. But you're right. Chris Farley, too, when he's even ramping up the skunks is fucking hilarious.
He is amazing. He just, oh, God. Bill, what about the then, now, and forever? Will this movie stand the test of time?
Not to everyone, no.
Yeah, hell no for me. That movie barely stands the test of time now. Again, it's a great, if you really dig that, like, again, like a lot of the Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore's, like, I will say it, it's fine. It's like, it is lowbrow comedy, but that's what we grew up on, and it's hilarious to us. Like, it will fit if you're, like, probably, like, 33 and up, or you just like that type of humor, but I don't really see this being a movie people are going to be like, oh, I got to go see that, aside from, obviously, in tribute to Norm and to look
at. Yeah, you made a good point. Like, a 25-year-old now will not enjoy it.
No, it's a tough, that would be a tough watch. Just the whole way the movies were made, too. And then, Bill, final thoughts. Anything else, our pull apart here before we give our ratings?
Yeah, I mean, the scene in the jail where he's like, you don't know what they do to people in jail? No. What? And he's just explaining to him, and then, like, they pull him out. And he's like, yeah, and then he comes back. You fellas got a lot of growing up to do. I'll tell you that. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. Can you believe these characters? Way out of line. I have a good mind to go to the warden about this. The lack of respect hurts the most. That's what really hurts the most. Well, you know, actually, the other thing hurts the most, but it's the lack of respect. Like, that fucking killed me still to this day, because I forgot that was even in the movie.
That's a great pull, that part. That hysterical scene. That's like where I feel like it was at its best too, right there. I just really liked to me, I already mentioned a bunch, but like the whole Don Rickles stuff, like he was just, you baby gorilla. And that was also such a huge Stern drop back in the day. But that is just hilarious. And Artie Lang, also just another side note, like, and I'm still surprised, like the chubby sidekick, if you will, was huge for like so much time here in movies. And how he never came back. Like, two people that you never really saw in movies was the other guy in Billy Madison, you know, the guy who could have the mucus queen that was with Norm MacDonald, the other stoner friend. And in Artie Lang, like, you just didn't see these dudes. But like,
he was in Beer League.
Yeah, but that was his movie. You know what I mean? I mean, like, for these other pictures, I'm just surprised that he never came, especially after Chris Farley's passing. Like, you think somebody, they were looking. But either way, I just, the Don Rickles stuff was great. Chevy Chase, you mentioned earlier, I'm agreed, like, a lot more misses than hits for me personally. But he was really funny in this film. And again, problem child, grandfather there. He was outstanding. And that was another thing my wife hysterically laughed every time. He's like, hey, you finally brought the whores. Like, he was just unreal. And like the fact, the whole story too of this movie, which again is kind of a dumb plot, that like to get him, they, what did they need, $50,000 to get him like a transplant. And they found out that it's both of their fathers, and Artie Lang's character's upset because he was the one thing he had over Norm MacDonald, which is
the locket gag kills me too. Oh my God, you're having sex with my mother.
And he goes, yeah, your mother was there too. Who took the picture? Nice way to tie that plot together. Yeah. Nice way to tie it. And I also have to mention the one thing, the fashion of this time, Artie Lang wearing shirts way too tight and horizontal. As a chubby guy, like, you don't wear a lot of horizontal stripes.
And Norm wearing shirts, open button-down shirts with a t-shirt underneath, was longer.
Dude, his shirts were so big for him. It was ridiculous. I know it was the 90s, different times, especially for men's fashion. People want to pick on women's fashion. Men look like slobs. But yeah, overall, enjoyable film. But now it's time to get to the nitty-gritty, Bill. Out of 11, what do you give it?
I give it 6.9.
Oh, look at you. I gave it about a 5.5.
All right.
So that's going to give us a median score of 6. I'm rounding up to 5. So 6.5 out of 11 for Dirty Work, 1998. I would fit this more in that cult classic, but there's another podcast that can debate all that stuff. Any final thoughts, Bill, on Dirty Work?
I mean, even though I gave it a 6.9, it's a movie that I will rewatch probably maybe once a year or once every other year, just because like some of those moments and some of those lines, I feel like this movie would be good if segmented into a bunch of SNL skits. Like the car dealership sketch is hilarious. The people working at the movie theater with the guy just berating them is hilarious. I actually don't like the ending of the movie. I don't like that, you know, the whole opera thing. I don't think it's a very good way to clinch it. I think if you had kind of built it more around the hookers in the trunk, because to me that was the moment, like you said, stood out.
Hookers and trucks. Yeah. No, I agree. I think that was, again, the standout scene. I also, you know, one thing you just mentioned that I think, like, I've realized with Norm MacDonald too, is like watching the O.J. Simpson SNL weekly update stuff, which you found out really cost him his job there, was like I rewatch that more than most things that he's done, because those compilations that are on YouTube right now, like, holy crap. And I agree with you. Like, if there's a compilation of this movie, which I haven't even looked for, like, and there's those hits like that, like maybe like a 15, 20 minute video, probably crushes. But that might be a little bit about Norm Macdonald. He hits in those moments, and he's also a great interview. And I've mentioned a lot about Stern, but he was always good on there until.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody came out recently and said that, you know, once he was off of SNL for the OJ Simpson stuff, they went to Conan and said, you can't have him on anymore. And Conan was like, listen, you want me to do my best show? He's my best guest. I'm having him on.
Love that. Oh, Bill, how about our show? Racking him in, Ted Lasso. Crushing at the Emmys. Jason Sudeikis winning Best Comical Actor. Ted Lasso, the show, winning Best Comedy. I think that's what it's called. Best Comedy Show, whatever it may be. Did you watch The Queen's Gambit? I
forget if we talked about this. No. Well, wait. The chess thing? Yeah.
Yeah, the chess thing. They crushed as well. They swept a lot of awards. You know, I just was pumped for Ted Lasso because there's certain shows like I like, and I think we're all biased to certain things, but that is just such a quality show. I haven't even seen the second season yet. I think it's either just wrapping up or coming to a close.
So did they get credit for this? Was this the first season they were getting credit for? All right, good. Because I was going to say, if it was for the second season, it's good, but not great.
See, the thing I think that's always hard when a show's really, really good, it's hard because you have a feeling, that first emotion, then when things change, I get it. And it's tough in these days, but I do like one thing. Shout out to Apple TV for doing weekly releases. It's still the best way to watch television. Don't care. I binged that show Clickbait, which is on Netflix, which I would recommend. It's fun. It's a nice little ride. But like when you watch everything, you can watch everything in one sitting. It just doesn't sit the same way. Speaking about Bill, Apple TV, have you watched The Morning Show?
No.
That is a program, Bill. That is a program. They just came back for their second season.
Is it a comedy?
No, it's basically like what happened on the Today Show with why can't I
Matt Lauer?
Matt Lauer, thank you. It's basically around that. Steve Carell plays the Matt Lauer character, and things go down. Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, really strong. The guy from The League, who I always kind of felt was the star of The League, but I don't really know. There wasn't like a star, but there's another guy who's like a PA for that. It's just a well acted show, but they're going into season two and they're going to be taking on the pandemic, which I don't know if I'm a fan of. Subtle hits about the pandemic, which I'm just like, oh, man, I don't want to watch this crap. Or I shouldn't say it that way. I don't want to live through that. Couple other just quick things then, you know, for music purposes, Bill. Can you believe this? I saw this on the old gram. Our girl Carly Rae Jepsen showed that there was a picture of her as a grandmother. Did you see this?
No.
So she basically had like a picture of her as a grandmother, and then like it went over like it was like four pictures of her aging, because Bill, 10 years ago, Call Me Maybe was released.
No way.
September. So yeah. Way, dude. And it blew my mind. Like, and I'm not that guy, like, oh, I'm so much older. Like, I get time moves forward, but that one kind of got like 10 years. It does not feel like 10 years.
No. Great music video too.
Oh, my cat's about to puke.
Oh boy.
Do it on that. I can't get too close. Oh.
That is a good play-by-play.
Oh, no. Because they do this thing. Cats have this way of, like, just cocking. Like
oh, neck. I know.
Like,
I've seen.
They're like chickens. Like, oh, no, he's going to do it again? He's going to. He's going to. His tongue's
he's
hanging.
Gonna, he's going to puke. Gonna,
he's going to puke. You're right, bud? Oh. Oh, Christmas. You okay? No, don't lick it. No, he didn't. Yeah, that's disgusting. I'll get to that after. Sorry. 10 years since Carly Rae Jepsen, though. 10 years.
Yeah. Good for her. It's a great song. I probably would still know every word to it to this day. I got to tell you, if you're listening right now, go back to about 3:39:20 on the broadcast so you can watch Rossi watch his cat puke.
Absolutely nasty. You can check us out on the YouTube. Anything you've been watching, listening to, mentionables for you?
Not really. A whole lot of football. I went to the Encore Sportsbook that isn't a sports book yet because we don't have gambling. So
gotta love that. So ridiculous.
Get that together. But a lot of fun. Went with Mac of the Mac and Goo program, some guys from work, some guys from the Madden League. So it was awesome to be in, you know, a sports book in my, you know, local area watching football. I got to say, the most uncomfortable seats I've ever had. They just like little tiny circle benches, no back support. I think it's because they don't want you to stay in one place for too long. We stayed there all 7 hours, but it was it was tough.
Dude, that there's one thing, and that's like the whole theory of casinos I've heard too, that they, well, no, casinos want you to be comfortable. Sports books don't want you to be comfortable. They want you moving around, betting, moving, because it's within a casino.
Right? I don't know, because every other sports book I've ever been to has just rows and rows of comfortable leather chairs that you sink into.
Yeah, the one we were in Vegas, it was like we could have sat there for like days.
Yeah.
It was like I could have taken a snooze on those comfy pups. But yeah, that's not digging that. There was something else. I was just, when you brought up football, it's gone. Went in one ear, out the other, Bill. But let's check out what else is be cooking with our DSG.
Shared Gooniverse.
All right, so we know that, what is it? Dork did, I think it was a mailbag, correct?
Grab bag.
Grab bag. So grab that on your audio devices. Mac and Goo did the 1989, man, I'm having a tough time this morning. 1989 classic Aliens. CMC did Venmo rewatch, I think you have here.
Venmo, man, it's popular. You can tell people what you give the money for.
The Venom rewatch. Actually, Mac and Goo last week did a Norm Macdonald retrospective. And remember how I told them last week they don't have like a niche. They're not really good at anything. That was excellent.
So they know what they're good at.
The Norm Macdonald thing, and Mac said that was the thing that kind of bonds them, that sense of humor. So that was a really good podcast. Go check that out, along with the Aliens rewatch. TLDR talked books. Yeah. I've Heard It Both Ways is doing episode 5 of season 3 tomorrow. Woo. What if would you watch this podcast? And I have you been watching What If?
Nope.
No, I might
very
not.
Little interest.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in any other way, especially with my things that I'm trying to do and stuff, but I love the concept. I just, every time I see an episode, I'm like, that's not the What If I would expect. Like I have theories and things that I think would be more interesting than, like, this week. I think it's like, what if Thor was an only child, so there was no Loki? That was kind of intriguing. Yeah. But like, one of them was like, what was the one a couple of weeks ago? I thought I saw some ridiculous, it wasn't like if Peggy Carter was,
that's the first one,
was Captain America. I'm like,
if she took the super serum. Yeah.
What? Like, Where did that even come from? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Hey, I'm sure it's good. It's Marvel attached. And I'm also, the animation style is a little weird for me. But we've talked about this with
you. Don't like any animation.
No, I just don't like this weird. And you're right. I probably don't like a ton of animation. But what's the show you want me to watch?
Invincible.
Invisible, as I kept calling it. That's a tough one. Just the look of it. Just for me, I don't know. Just my eyes get a little. It's like, I love Zelda, right? Zelda's one of my favorite video games. Maybe my favorite video game of all time. Ocarina of Time, but like, I really love Breath of the Wild. Is an amazing game, but visually it's stunning, but just a little different, a little extra like cartoony with the edging. And I'm like, I like a little more realistic look, but right. What the hell am I? Just your classic dink.
Speaking of video games, we have our streamers, Shine Time, Arvon D, and Back Cracker. Oh, and yeah. Real quickly, last thing here. Did you see that thing going around about the dude who was charging people to be on his podcast, $25 to $50?
It's 50 to 100. Yes, I did.
50 to 100. Wow. What do you think about that?
It didn't bother me. I don't know why. Maybe I'm
really
crazy.
Oh man.
But let me ask you this. And I didn't get to listen to the full news dump. I got to parts. I didn't get to the part where Mac and Goo talked about it. Is people mad because it's like you should just do a podcast because most people aren't making money off of podcasts? Is
that? Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I don't really have a beef either way, but I could understand if you have like, listen, we all got to try to make money, right? Like, if somebody's willing to pay you $50 to make an appearance on a podcast, I'm not saying no. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be charging anybody because who the freak cares about me? Mm-hmm. But like, I get the theory of it. I guess it also depends on the person because I've also, you know, I'm a big wrestling community person. I love wrestling. That I've heard that some people will pay people. Like, if I were to really go deep, and maybe it's something I'm thinking of, like, I would pay people a little bit. Like, I don't know. It's I'm caught in the middle. I guess it depends who it is and what your podcast. I believe this guy is like a sports analyst.
He's a nobody. He's a sports writer, but he lives in Australia, and he has 40,000 followers, but he also follows 25,000 people.
Yeah, so I don't, I'm weird. See, the whole following thing, I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, like, it's like a thing.
Like, I know for a fact, if me and you went to town in the next 3 months and we said, we're going to follow, because you have to get stopped every so often, I believe. If we followed 5,000 each, I bet you our followership would probably increase 10, whatever you're at now. You being kicked off of the bad boy of Twitter, I forgot. But like, you would probably be at like 3 to 5 grand. You'd probably match almost. Because you to do that, it takes a lot of time and effort to just follow. Mm. And like, I don't know. Like, there's a lot of those. I'm a big, again, I talk about wrestling stuff, but like, there's follow trains and all that. And but like, that's part of a community. And I know, isn't it strange? Like, sometimes I look at those accounts and I'm like, oh, they have 10,000 followers, but they follow 9.8.
Yeah, they're not putting out content. They're just following and getting follows.
Yeah, but then like, it's weird. But then if you look at their, like, I don't know what their reach is because we can't see analytics, but like, they do have like a lot of stuff on their tweets. So I don't know. It's a weird, because like, you're building a community as well. I'm strange. I don't think there's any clout to if you have 40,000 followers and you only follow three. Like, that just means you have celebrity to you.
Well, it's such a
strange game.
True Rossi fashion, you're the only one who's like, yeah, you can charge $50.
Well, think about it, but I'm just saying, like,
I got you.
Pay it, like, hey, if somebody said to you, Bill, hey, I want you on a podcast to really break, like, psych, you got a little.
Yeah, if somebody offered me money, I'm not going to turn it down. But if somebody was like, hey, you want to come onto this podcast? And I'm not going to be like, $50 or fucking, it's going to be quality on my end or no fucking deal.
That's a great point. See, I wasn't looking at it from that. I'm looking at it more like the marketing angle of it. Yeah, like, but then if you do it a few times and you say, hey, this is what I charge. I don't know. Yeah, it's an ugly game. It's an ugly game. I don't want to get into it, but I'm not against it.
All right.
So, you know, please do pay me. I will be for a 25 cents. I'll be on your podcast.
We'll podcast for money.
I also will say that the guy, I did see this because he said something about like, he does like research prior and then we'll promote after, which I feel like is hilarious. It's like, well, thanks. Like, okay. Like, what else am I paying for? Your expertise and stuff, which I don't know. It's funny, but I did see, I think he's on DJB, the brunch podcast. I think that was another thing I saw last night. He's being paid, I think, to be on the brunch podcast.
Oh, they're probably bringing him on to ask him about it.
I think so. They said like it's a no holds barred, but that's a good pull on their part. Because imagine paying him $50 and then just, you know, lighten him up maybe or ask him questions.
Oh, they will. If I know DJ, they will.
And you know DJ.
I do.
You know what else he's really good at, Bill? Talking to you until somebody else more important walks by.
It's very true.
one of the best moments of our collaborated Super Bowl experience, when they're just talking to someone and they're literally just looking around the room trying to find out who they're going to talk to next. Amazing stuff. But go check out their podcast too. It's funny, and I've never been a full-blown subscriber, but every time there's something I like, I give it a giggle. Bill, anything else you want to wrap up with? Any final, well, not that one, but anything else for the peeps?
I think I'm good.
Good. Bill's good. Go feel better. We did this one bright and early, which will kick off a great day. I was up at like 4 a.m. this morning, by the way.
Good Lord.
Yeah, just one of those mornings, Bill. So I'm just vibing. I had a little, have a workout in a little bit, and I already started the pre before this. So that's why maybe I have a little extra energy, and maybe you're going to start sipping on that sweet, sweet, whatever. You drink coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you do coffee and pre-workout?
No.
Depending on the day. Not like together, but in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Listen, you're a caffeine addict. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's going to be wired. He's going to be running through. And your poops, you can add some of that puffin cereal, Bill, and you'll just be
regular. Coffee does the trick just enough. I don't need puffins.
Maybe I'm the one who needs puffins. I've been a little bound. But anyways, we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys so much for listening. Please share with friends. Let them know. Let us know your thoughts on Dirty Work. Again, we averaged out to give it a 6.5 out of 11. Enjoyed it. Again, if you are someone of the age group that we're in, those early to mid to late 30s, I think, and older, I think you'll really have a good kick and get a kick out of it, have some cheap laughs. And it's on HBO Max, by the way. Bill told me Hulu, he was lying, is on HBO Max. So if you have a subscription there, go check out Dirty Work. And it's only like, I think it's like a little under 90 minutes. That was another thing I didn't get to mention. I know it's like a Mac and Goose scale, and I'm agreed. Comedies, under an hour and a half, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Lock it down. But Bill, any final words for our fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.